We've got a great God, a good God that has done so much for us, laying down His life for us. I did want to mention, are there some of these in the foyer? In the foyer on the Welcome Center, there's some of these cards. And they're simply the picture of the banner, the missions conference, and some information about it, the times and so forth, and an invitation on the back. If you want to hand those out to your friends, there's some there. Please take them. I'm not going to have you stand for the scripture because I'm going to be actually reading that scripture a little ways in. Well, stand with me anyway. Reverence to the Word of God. We're going to read from Psalm 37. We're going to be looking at this and a few other passages, but we can, in good reverence to the Word of God, certainly get the theme of our message as our opening song, Trust and Obey. To read in Psalm 37, verses 3 to 5, it says, Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord. He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in Him. He shall bring it to pass. Father, bow before You once again, thanking You for our Savior, Jesus Christ. Thanking You for the hope that is ours because of Calvary that was sung about a moment ago. Thank You for that joy You instill, You immerse us in, because we have been born again. And with that, Lord, I pray, ask You, if there's anyone here in this room this morning that does not know where they'll spend eternity, does not know that they are born again, that their life is new in Christ. Oh God, I'm asking You, would You be pleased to exalt Your Son in this hour? Lift Him up and draw folks savingly, gloriously, eternally to Yourself. Thank You, Lord, for this privilege, this honor to stand before my brothers and sisters in Christ. I'm asking You, please, give understanding, illumination. Would You loosen this stammering tongue and use it for Your glory today? In Jesus' name, amen. Of course, you may be seated, dear ones. Title of message is Trusting God. In these days, it's so hard to know who and what that we can trust in this mixed up, crazy world in which we live. No, that seems to make a statement somewhat like that quite often. But it's the truth, is it not? It's crazy in this world, and the messages are so confusing. And we hear and see conflicting messages from everywhere, whether it's the media, the politicians, or wherever it might come from. And then you come to the church house. And as a pastor, I feel sorry at times for those dear folks that are seeking a reliable, trustworthy, I use the word spiritual message, and you know what I mean by that, a biblically sound message. Every denomination, every religious group wants to claim that they have the truth. Is that not right? We have the truth over here. Trust us is part of the mantra. Well, I challenge you to check out what churches, what preachers say, including this one, because the Bereans, who were commended for their faithfulness, to check what they were hearing by the Word of God. Check them out by the one and only reliable standard. And what is that? The Word of God. What does the Bible say? What does God's Word, the Bible, say to us? We just read there from Psalm 37, David's words there as he challenges us, what? Trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land. And we're going to be looking at three primary passages. This one in Psalm 37. And then those very familiar words from from David's son, Solomon, in Proverbs chapter 3 and verses 5 and 6. Where he there says what? Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and then the promise, he shall direct thy paths. And then another verse, actually two verses from the prophecy of Isaiah in chapter 26. Isaiah 26, and they're beginning to read in verse 3, where Isaiah, speaking of God, he says, thou will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. Why? Because he trusteth in thee. He trusteth in God. Trust ye, he says again in verse 4, trust ye in the Lord forever. In the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. I need that strength. How about you? I need that strength for every moment of every day. But let me ask you a question. What does it mean to trust God? We use that word. What does it mean to trust God? Well, in some ways, it's hard to make a difference. It's hard to distinguish between faith in God and trust in God. I've heard a few preachers along the way, and there are some distinctions that we could make, but they're very nearly one in the same thing. Stick with me in this. How does the Bible define faith? If we would turn, you don't have to, I'm going to read it to you, but you could turn to Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1. And Paul defines what faith is for us there. He says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Huh. Faith is the substance, the very foundation of faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Well, then essentially, faith is trusting in something that you cannot, I'll use this word for lack of a better one, explicitly prove. Something that you can't clearly prove. Why? Because it's something that you are trusting in, that you've placed your hope in. So evidence of things that aren't visible in this world. So in a very real sense, our faith and trust in God rest upon each other, do they not? They are inseparable. They both rest. Now get this, another word that goes together. They both rest upon what we believe. Is that right? What we believe. The song earlier about when we were born again. Not a one of us in the room, this room that is saved, that is born again, received Christ as our Savior until we believed. To that moment when we believed that what God did at Calvary to save us from our sins was what? Trustworthy. That it was indeed trustworthy. Now, turn with me, if you would, to Numbers chapter 13. I want to look at a biblical example of this very thing. Numbers chapter 13, the background of the passage there, the children of Israel are now in Canaan. They're in that land that God had promised to them. Joshua is now replaced Moses as the leaders of the children, the leader of the children of Israel. And as they're taking possession now, the different tribes are taking possession of their portion of the land. We have a man that comes to Joshua in chapter 13, and we'll begin reading there in verse 25. Well, let's back up a couple of verses. And we see that the spies, those spies that were sent into Israel, into the Canaan, have returned, and they're giving their report. And it says in verse 25, and they returned from searching of the land after 40 days. And they went and came to Moses and to Aaron and to all the congregation of the children of Israel unto the wilderness of Paran and to Kadesh, brought back word unto them and unto all the congregation, and showed them the fruit of the land. Remember those grapes that had to be carried between two men on a pole. And they told him and said, we came into the land whither thou sentest us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. Moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. What were the children of Anak? They were giants, if you remember. The Amalekites dwell in the land in the south, and the Hittites and the Jebusites, and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. And they give this report, the spies. And then a man named Caleb speaks up. After all this report, in verse 30, and Caleb stilled the people. I can just picture him. He holds up his hands and he wants everybody to get quiet before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. But there were a few naysayers in the group. The men that went up with him said, we be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, the land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof. And all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which came, that come of the giants. And we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so were we in their sight. Well, so these spies have returned. And it's hard for me not to admire this Old Testament hero, Caleb. He and Joshua, as we mentioned, were the only two of those Hebrew spies that investigated the land that really had a positive report. They were ready to go. And that's why God was pleased. Out of that whole generation, if you're mindful, the only two that survived of that generation, that those 40 years in the wilderness, were Joshua, who became the replacement of Moses, and Caleb. And Caleb. Well, what's the difference? What was the difference between Caleb and those 10 fearful men, his brethren? They all saw the same things, didn't they? They all saw the fruitfulness of the land, just as God had promised them to them, a land that flowed with milk and honey. They saw indeed the walled cities. They saw the giants that were in the land. They all saw the strength of the cities, the inhabitants of the land. But what was it? What was it about Caleb that motivated him? Let's go up right now. Let's go up at once and possess the land. Well, rather than let what they saw stop him, Caleb trusted God. They had been told over and over again that God had given them, the children of Israel, that land. He believed God. And out of his belief, he trusted God. Turn over to Joshua, the book of Joshua, chapter 14. Now indeed. Now indeed, they are in the land. As I mentioned earlier, at this point, they have taken the land. They've crossed the Jordan River. And they're now in the land. And Caleb comes to his friend Joshua. He comes to him as comes to Joshua as the leader of Israel. And in verse 6, it says this, Joshua chapter 14. Then the children of Judah came unto Joshua. Caleb was the leader of the children of the tribe of Judah. And Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said unto him, Thou knowest the thing that the Lord said unto Moses, the man of God, concerning me and thee in Kadesh Barnea, when those two were promised, were told that they would be the only ones that would of that generation that would go in to the Canaan. 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of God, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land. And I brought him word again as it was in mine heart. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt. But notice here what Caleb says about himself. But I wholly followed the Lord my God. And Moses swore on that day, saying, Surely the land whereon thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance. And the children's forever. Because thou hast, what? Wholly followed the Lord. My God. And now, the Lord hath kept me alive. Notice this testimony. He's kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years. Even since the Lord spake this word unto Moses. While the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now, lo, I am this day 85 years old, 85. But listen to what he says. As yet I am as strong this day as I was the day that Moses sent me. Well, I don't know. I'm not quite 85 yet, but I can surely testify I'm not as strong today as I was when I was 40. But God had preserved Caleb. No question about that. God had preserved Caleb in a very supernatural way. Now, he says, even so is my strength now for war, both to go out and to come in. And notice his request. Now, therefore, or because of this, give me this mountain whereof the Lord spake in that day. For thou heardest in that day how the Anakims was there. He wants the very mountain where the giants are. And that the cities were great and fenced. If so be the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out as the Lord said. What is it? This is a testimony of trust, isn't it? This is a testimony of belief. And Joshua blessed him. And gave unto Caleb the son of Jephunneh Hebron for an inheritance. Hebron therefore became the inheritance of Caleb the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, unto this day. Why? Because that he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. What is that? He trusted God. He trusted God, and his trust in God enabled him then to wholly follow the Lord. Wow. He trusted that his God would do just as he said he would do. God had promised Caleb that inheritance. And so he goes to Joshua and says, I want what's mine. I want what God told me would be mine. And again, Caleb went in, and out of his trust, out of his belief, he took that mountain. And it became the home of his home and his descendants' home from there on in. Caleb believed God, and that indeed enabled him to trust God. Wow. thinking over this last few days about all this. And I remember many, many years ago, and I was asking Marcia this morning if I remembered this right. But I don't know how many of you all have ever been to junior camp. Junior camp is a different thing. Junior camp is young people from about 9 through 11 years old or so. Junior campers, the boys go to camp and mamas pack them this beautiful suitcase of clothes and everything they need for a week, and they take it home untouched. Much to the counselor's dismay. At junior camp, probably 25 years ago, I was a counselor. Marcia was there and with our church kids. A young boy who's now a grown man, sure he's got kids, maybe grandkids by now, by the name of Joshua Feather was his name. Samuel Feather. Samuel Feather. We just called him Sam. And the preacher that day happened to be our former pastor, Pastor Ron Starcher. And he was preaching. He was teaching the message that night at junior camp. And he called Sam to come up to the platform. And the platform wasn't like this. It had steps all wrapped around it. There was just the platform, which was just a touch lower than this, pretty close to this height. And then just one step to the sides. Well, he had Sam come up and he asked Sam, do you trust me? Sam said, yes, Pastor Starcher, I trust you. He put a blindfold on Sam. And he said, Sam, he asked him again, Sam, do you still trust me? Yes, Pastor Oster. Do you trust me, Sam, that I would not let anything harm you? Yeah, I trust you. He's nodding his head, yeah. He says, okay, Sam, if you trust me, I want you to stand right there on the edge of the platform and just lean out until you fall. You trust me, don't you, Sam? I won't let anything hurt you, right, Sam? Yes, Pastor Starcher. A little bit of a quiver in his voice now. And he says, okay, Sam, go ahead and lean out there. I'm sitting about over here where Brother Randy is. And as people around the old auditorium, we called it the tabernacle, they watched Sam just slowly lean out and fall head first into the waiting arms of his own father that had slipped up after the blindfold went on. What a demonstration, though, it was of trust. Yeah. I might not recommend you trust preachers all the time. They could get you in trouble. But young Samuel trusted Pastor Starcher that day. And what an illustration of trust. Of believing. He believed that the preacher wouldn't let him get hurt. And his trust didn't fail him in that case. Wow. Wow, indeed. How about us? Dear ones, do we trust God like that? Do we trust God in such a way that we are willing to just fall into His arms? To fall into His arms, trusting, believing, hey, He is going to take care of us, beloved. I belong to Him. If you're saved, you belong to Him. What's the worst thing that can happen? You know the answer to that. We go to be with Jesus. I mean, I remember that day. There was nothing but cold, hard concrete down there in front of Sam. Trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord, David says, and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land. Now be mindful to the Jewish mind. Everything in life revolved around the land. That land that had been promised to them generations before David came on the scene. The land was that place that God had ordained to provide for them. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell, abide in the land. And verily, thou shalt be fed. As you trust God, I'm going to take care of you in this land, and you will eat. You'll be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord. He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord, and trust in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. Now, I imagine that every Christian, every believer, notice the word I used, every believer in this room wants to profess, I trust the Lord. I do indeed trust the Lord. But are we? Are we really trusting Him? Like Sam did. As God expected the children of Israel do. Huh? Do we in this say that we are trusting the Lord, but we are living differently? There's a difference, is there not? Talk's cheap, isn't it? Are we living differently? Though we claim to trust the Lord, are we trusting in our own wisdom for life? Are we trusting in God's ability to care for us? Or are we trusting in our own strength? Our own strength. Oh my. Trust in the Lord. But also we find in the Scripture that we are to trust in the Lord. How? Completely. What did it say? What did David's son Solomon say in Proverbs chapter 3? Trust in the Lord. What? With all thine heart. With all thine heart. Heart. Wow. I think we do well if we would periodically examine ourselves in this matter. Because it's possible for us to get down the road somewhere and realize, hey, you know, I'm just not really where I was with the Lord. I'm not where I was with my complete trust in Him, in my abiding in His ability to take care of me. Huh? Is that possible? Certainly it's possible. A little examination does us well. What should we do when we find that we are resorting again to self, to our own wisdom? Ask ourselves a second question. Why am I doing that? Why have I fallen into this, the old ways and the old rut of looking at my own wisdom and depending on my own strength? And then, beloved, deal with it. There may be some things that we need to confess and deal with before God. Lord, I'm not trusting You in this part of my life or this area. Seek the Lord. Seek the Lord's forgiveness about those things. Go forward with Him. Hey, He'll do for you. Trust the Lord completely. And then a very similar word I want to use here. Trust the Lord perfectly. Perfectly. Our passage in Isaiah chapter 26. What's it say there? Thou wilt keep him in what kind of peace? Perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. In my margin of my Bible, where that word stayed is, I've just put the word rest in there. My mind rests in thee. It stayed on thee. Why? Because he trusteth in thee. Trust in the Lord forever. For the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. Amen. Beloved, with complete trust, as we just saw, God gives perfect peace. Where we completely trust God, God will be pleased to grant us perfect peace. Now that starts as an intellectual thing. Mentally, we conclude that we indeed can trust God. But it doesn't stop there. It must not stop there. It's not complete until it's gone from a mental assent to an emotional. An emotional thing as well. That we trust in God with everything that we are. Our entire heart and life. Now, let me ask you, you know, I'm always asking questions. You know why I do that? Because I'm always asking myself questions. And I've always prayed that maybe if I ask a question, somebody might wake up. Was he asking me that? Then, how long has it been since you told God, "I trust you, Lord"? How long has it been you just said, "God, I trust you. Lord, I trust you"? I encourage you, do it often. It's good to remind ourselves in that way that we indeed trust God. Lord, I trust you completely for everything in my life. And once you've made that statement, "Yes, God, I trust you for everything in my life," then go on to be specific with Him. What do you mean? Trust Him for those specific things in your life. Or let me back up. Tell Him. Tell the Lord, "I am trusting you, Lord, with my life. I'm trusting you with this decision that I need to make. I'm trusting you concerning the health of my dear loved one. I'm trusting you, Lord, for the salvation of my," whoever it is, their friend, family member. Huh? Do you trust God in those things? I believe it's an affirmation to our own hearts when we thank God. We express our trust for Him. "Lord, I trust you." Period. But why? Why trust God? Why do you trust God? The ladies were singing about when they were born again. Hallelujah for that day and moment, even when we were born again. It was nearly 47 years ago now. It's hard to believe. 47 years ago that I trusted Jesus Christ as my Lord and as my Savior. That moment when I put my faith, my what? Trust. Put our faith, we put our trust in Him to save my wretched soul from my sin. Are you identifying? I needed His forgiveness. Amen. I needed His cleansing from sin. I needed His dealing with my unrighteousness, my unrighteous heart. And I'll confess to you here, I've not always been as trusting of God as I should be. I don't think I'm the only one in this room that can make that confession. I've not always trusted Him in my daily life as I should. I wish I could answer otherwise. And I wish I could tell you what's behind that. It's a myriad of things, really, isn't it? It's interesting. It's interesting. There's no question in my mind that that night in December of 1974, I trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior, and He did save me. I trust that without question. But then why is it along the way in this life that we live that we can find ourselves doing what? Going back to our own understanding, our own wisdom. "I got to get this figured out, huh?" And you know, you've probably heard me different times, different places, joking about being OCD. I have to confess, I'm selective in my OCD. If you look at my desk, you'd say, "He's not OCD." And it comes to neatness. But being OCD, you think you've got to have everything. You've got to have all the ducks in a row. Yeah. You've got to have everything in its proper box. But that life's not like that, is it? Every time you think you've got them ducks all lined up, watch what? One of them jumps out of line. Huh? Believe it or not, when I was a little kid, I had a duck. My dad got me a duckling somewhere. And wouldn't have nothing to do with me. You know who it made friends with? In our barn, we had a calf tied to a rail. That duck slept right there with the calf. Until one day we got down to the barn, and guess what? The calf rolled over on my duck. If he would have followed me, he'd have been all right. My Lord, help us to trust. To trust Him. We'll trust Him with our eternal destiny, but sometimes we can't trust Him with our daily walk, with what's going on. Stick with me. But when we do trust Him, we also see from these three passages some tremendous benefits, blessings, if you will. Trust God for His blessing. Going back there to Psalm 37 in verses 3 to 5, we see there, when we trust Him, He's our security, isn't He? He's our security. So shalt thou dwell in the land. You read the history of Israel. You go through the First and Second Chronicles and First and Second Kings and even to some extent in the prophets. When Israel was trusting God, God took care of them, provided for them. He was their security. Time and again, God fought the battles for Israel and delivered them. But whether it was in the judges, days of the judges, the days of the kings, when Israel began to stray and they get to following the other gods of the lands around them and figuring out things for themselves, what happened? They lost God's protection. They lost God's security. They forfeited would be a better word. When we trust God, He'll be our security. So shalt thou dwell in the land. He'll also be our provider. And verily thou shalt be fed, David declared. That God would give indeed those earlier and latter rains. In fact, when Solomon became king, in those early verses there in 2 Chronicles, those early chapters, we looked at the 2 Chronicles 7:14 some weeks ago. And God had promised them that as they obeyed Him, He would take care of them. He'd bless them. And the land would prosper. And when they didn't, they turned from Him, as they eventually did, they would lose His blessing. If they would repent and turn back and seek God's face, what was the promise? Forgive their sin and what? Heal their land. God will be their provider when we trust Him. Yes. And then thirdly, He'll give to you. He's a gracious God. He's a giving God. Verse 4 of Psalm 37 said, delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. And we find our delight in Him, our trust in Him. When we don't trust, let me back up and say it right. We don't trust God to get. Right? We don't trust God in order to get. We trust Him because we believe Him. And out of that faith and trust, we love Him. We love Him. But when you trust the Lord, when you trust your Lord with your life, you will have His blessing. The joys, the delights of God will become your delights. And those desires will be granted as well. So indeed, trust God for His blessing. But also, from these passages, we see that we can trust God for His direction. Trust Him. What did Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 say? Trust the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him. And then what's the promise? He shall direct thy paths. It's tremendous. Do you trust God with your life? Do you trust God with all your heart? If you do, He will direct. I want to make sure I say this right. He will direct every path and all your paths. Do you notice the word paths there is in the plural? Have you been on the same path all your life? No, there's different things, different ways, different things that come into our lives. And the promise is, He shall direct thy paths. He will give His leadership, His direction for every course, every turn, every path that we find ourselves on begins with trusting Him. And then, finally, trust God for His peace. Trust God for His peace. What's those words in Isaiah 26, 3 and 4? Thou will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed or rested on Thee. Resting on Thee. Oh my. The Holy Spirit was pleased to give Isaiah a very special way of expressing this peace. It says, perfect peace in our King James Bible. And I think I might have shared this some time ago, but those words there, perfect peace, are the word shalom, shalom. The Hebrew word for peace, shalom. And God the Holy Spirit was pleased to give to Isaiah that doubling of that word, or the repeating of that word, to emphasize, for emphasis. What kind of peace? It will be a perfect or a complete peace. Oh my, we need that, do we not? As we started this message, we need it in a crazy, crazy world. And by the way, regardless of who wins the election in 2024, the world's not going to get any saner. It's not going to get any saner. Evil men and seducers shall what? Wax worse and worse. It's not going to get better. But we can have perfect peace regardless. Perfect peace. How long is it? Does Isaiah tell us that we're to trust the Lord? Forever. Forever. That very statement is special in itself. He doesn't say for the rest of your life. That would have been fine if he had said that. But you and I that are Christians realize that we have what kind of life? Eternal life. Everlasting life. And so God is pleased to tell Isaiah to remind us that we are to trust in the Lord forever. What a privilege to trust Him forever. And then we're to trust, notice, the Lord Jehovah. This is only found twice, to my knowledge, in the Bible, where this construction, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, Jehovah. The Lord Jehovah. And it's the words Yah, translated Lord here, and Jehovah. Again, the idea is it's speaking of that ever-existing, all-powerful, almighty God. Trust Him forever. That exists forever. The ever-present God. Oh my. Forever. And notice that this God who we are to trust forever gives us everlasting strength. Doesn't quit. Everlasting strength. Hold on to that, beloved. It'll do for you all the way to glory and beyond. And beyond. God gives us His blessing. God gives us His direction. God gives us His peace as we what? Trusting. Trusting. Mentioned old Sam Feather and his dive off of the platform there in Maranatha Youth Ranch, Pennsylvania. I remember afterwards, Pastor Starcher stepping down as they took the blindfold off of Sam, and he's there in his daddy's arm. He was probably 9 or 10 years old at the time. And I remember him turning around and giving Brother Starcher a big old hug. Huh? And look, out of his trust and his faith in that preacher, there was also a love. And in our relationship with our God, day by day, and we live this life as a life of what? Trust. Trusting Him for what? Every path that we're on. I'm trusting You, Lord. You're in charge, Lord. I'm trusting You. And sure enough, we're going to get down along the way. And guess what? There's going to be a turn in the path. You ever had any turns in the path? Of course you have. Things happen. Things change. Does that mean I can't trust God? Hey, things are different now. I've got to figure this out on my own. No. No, regardless of what kind of a turn or what happens to the path, I'm still going to trust Him.
Amen.
I'm still going to trust. He didn't fail me on that other path. He's not going to fail me on this one. Right? Huh? And again, along the way, as we trust Him and we walk with Him, what happens? Our trust is strengthened. We trust Him more and more all along the way. Trust Him. He's worthy. He's so worthy of our trust. But you know what? Just as a closing thought, I think this is a problem that we deal with. Maybe one of the biggest issues that cripples our trust. You know what it is? Fear. Fear. There's so many things that come into our life that can create fear, is there not? Don't even want to try to list them. But fear so often cripples us. It hinders us. Roadblocks and those paths that our life takes, creating fear. But again, what's the answer to those fears that come into our lives? Trust God. Trust Him. Paul talked about it, didn't he? The verse that God used to break me loose from the fears, I could say, that were keeping me from surrendering to the gospel ministry. As he wrote in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, that God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. God works in all those areas of our life, and He will be the one that will give us. I could use the word sanity, but you know I'm insane. But gives us that soundness of mind to negotiate this world. Walk those paths with Him. Talking about missions conference in these days, we're on the very threshold of our annual missions conference. And with that, I can't ever think of missions conference and what God might be pleased to do with us for another year that I don't think. I promise you, I think of this quote every year, missions time, and often during the year. But it's a quote from the man that has been regarded as the father of modern missions. He was an English tinker by trade, an English shoemaker by the name of William Carey. He said this, "Attempt great things for God. Expect great things from God." Huh? You won't do that in a spirit of fear. Fear will keep you from attempting great things from God, and it will thwart that expectation of great things from God. But the antidote, what is it that cures that fear? What is it that drives that fear away? Trust. Trusting God will enable us to indeed believe God, to attempt great things for Him. Not just attempt, but believing, expecting Him to do great things. Huh? Where does that confidence come from? Just one last time, say it. Trust. Trusting God. That begins, of course, as we've already said, that begins with trusting God with our soul. Trusting God to save us from our sin. And then trusting God to lead us every day hence. Let's stand together, beloved. Father, I bow before You, before my brothers and sisters in Christ here. And Lord, I'm asking You in Jesus' name, I pray that what we've heard today would not just be another message, another sermon, but that we would believe these things, believe these claims from Your Word, challenges from Your Word, for us to trust You. God, I'm asking You for every believer in this room, including the man standing behind this desk, we would trust You. We would believe Your promises. We would believe the guarantees that You have made concerning Your children. I'm praying, Father, that that trust, that faith in You would deliver us from the fears, deliver us from anything and all things that would come against us to keep us from our service for You. Lord, I pray for those that might be within these walls that even still question, doubt over where they might spend eternity. Lord, again, I'm asking You, hold up Jesus to them. He's the one they can trust. Help them to see that Jesus promised them that if they'll believe in Him, that they will not perish, but have everlasting life. Oh God, please, deal with every heart, every life today, that we would go from this place, living our lives, trusting You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Brother John.
Page 338.
Amen. As we sing, beloved, of course, you know these altars are open for you. You can make use of them as the Lord directs. Just something you want to talk to the Lord about. There's something someone you want to bring before the Lord. Or if you're here this morning and you need the Lord, please come. Do our best to point you to Jesus. As we sing, please obey the Lord.
Simply trusting every day, trusting You was the only way.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, folks. You know, every week I seem like I'm trying to cut my notes down so I don't preach as long. Something's not working. I'm trusting the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Lord bless you. Brother John, come.
Month of Soul Winner for Jesus. A soul winner for Jesus. A soul winner for Jesus. Oh, let me reach today. A soul winner for Jesus. A soul winner for Jesus.